Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
Do you feel that I'm being free and I'm thinking free?
Kanye says he is on medication for his mental health, but not taking the amount his doctors want him to take. He says he's not in therapy. This is what he says. He says the world is his therapy.
Okay.
Lot to say.
Thank you.
Yes.
What else do you say?
I know.
But thank you, Lisa. Okay. Well, Garth.
It's a little stormy outside, too.
Yeah.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Jim O'Hare, one of our favorites in studio. Lullaby League. I'll tell you all about that. First, just a thought. Do you think the teleprompter is what zero gravity is to people living in the space station?
Yes.
Like all the muscle mass of being able to speak falls away. You lose bone density.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, you have to make a little cross chatter and it's like, oh.
So no. There you go.
Okay. You get married to this thing. You get weakened by it because we all know that everyone who's on their feet kind of bringing it. You know, if you're doing hot sports talk every morning on the AM drive, you're on your feet.
On top.
Like those muscles are, they're living off that prompter. They're up in the space
station.
There's
no moment. Without a prompter, they got nothing.
Our own David Alan Greer was in one of the all-time great SNL sketches with Will Ferrell, where they did a Wake Up Phoenix, a mindless morning show, the weather, this and that, and the teleprompter went out. And over the course of the next 4 minutes, they resorted to tribal violence and they beheaded each other. It just degraded into they couldn't function. The box is not telling me what to say.
So this then must translate out of the newsroom, and they must be driving home, and someone cuts them off on the freeway, and they roll down the window and go,
anger! They can just say basic.
Car! License car! Because we all know if the guy's a stand-up who does a lot of crowd work, he's going to be right on it. He's going to be right on it. Jim O'Hare, our favorite.
Hey, you guys. I love being here.
Lullaby League, new episodes Wednesday nights on Scary Mommy's YouTube channel. And it's a very interesting and funny premise that I'll let Jim explain.
Well, let's see. It's about me hosting a show with babies. And I don't have babies, never had. And to be honest, I think babies are mostly assholes.
Yeah.
God bless them. They grow out of that phase. But when they are children, they're, just real huge pains in the asses. But it's a competition show. It's truly a full blown game show with a cappella groups having to put these babies to sleep. And so it's it sounds crazy, but the craziest part is that it works. That's the craziest shit. We shot this in New York. We went to babies' homes. We did not bring them into. We went to their atmosphere. It's not totally because there's cameras and stuff in their living rooms before they go to bed. But then we had hidden cameras in the bedrooms of children, which of course sounds terrible, but that's what we did. And they would put these kids to sleep or try to, and these a cappella groups would compete who could get the kid to sleep the fastest. It's a game show that every week. New competitors. The big finale, there's a set of twins that have to be put to sleep. And then there's this big recording prize for the winner.
I was going to say, hey, man, if you can find a group that can put kids to sleep consistently, as a recently tormented dad I would pay good money for that that download.
Well, and here's what's happening. I will tell you this. Because of how well the music has done, they've created this thing called Soothe Operator.
It's good.
Amazing. Where's that?
Thank you.
And you can get it on Spotify and on iTunes, and it's all that money goes to charity. But it's really these babies. Every parent said that the baby went to sleep sooner than their normal
routine.
They normally would do. So,
wow.
I think the only reason they got me involved is two reasons. One, I do actually happen to like a cappella. I think it's kind of really cool, a cappella music, and I like those beatbox guys who can make it sound like there's a whole band there and there's nobody there. So that, and plus they let me be just a dick. You know, because I'm literally, even to the babies, because sometimes I'm like, this kid, I can't take this. You're going to have to get him away from me. And of course, they're all ultimately cute. You know, babies are cute, but
they're evil.
They're evil.
I agree. This is why I get mad at all the parents who don't bring their kids from that evil state into a mature state. It's sort of they have to shepherd that journey. If you said, you don't believe me, babies are evil. I'll tell you this. If you could somehow use telepathy to communicate with a baby, like they could fully understand, and they could understand, like Aquaman talks to narwhals. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could do that with babies, and you said, here's a piece of, this is a grape piece of candy. It's a grape flavored piece of candy. Now you can eat this. If you do eat it, every human being is going to lose their right foot. Or you could just eat it in an hour.
Yeah.
And everyone would be whole again. They'd go, give me the goddamn
candy.
Give me that fucking piece of grape candy.
It is me.
I will eat that candy right now. And you're like, you don't get it. Your mother, myself, the night nanny, everyone in your world, your twin sister, they're all going to lose their right foot if you eat this piece of grape candy now.
And
they go, I heard you the first time, old man.
Don't repeat yourself.
This is all could be candy eating. You're cutting into my candy eating time.
Huge assholes.
There's no doubt that they would do that. Now, there are many people I'm absolutely sure that if you made them into, when they're adults, half the guys I went to high school with, if you went, look, I will give you $4,500 cash. Now, 100 people around the world are going to die randomly. Mm-hmm. If you take, I don't know if they're going to be young or old or what color they're going to be, what nature, whatever.
Right.
They rest assured, they will die.
Yeah.
They would go, is anyone going to know about the $4,500? And I'd go, no. No one will know. They'll just die.
Yeah.
Randomly. I could be a family member. Statistically, probably not. Could be me. But you take this $4,500, rest assured.
100 people, they're out.
Three of them are going to be in high school. They're just going to die.
Yes.
And they'd go, give me that money.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with my life?
Half the guys who went to high school would do that.
What are you still talking for?
That meant their parents did a horrible job getting them from that baby to now seniors at North Hollywood High.
Yeah.
And beyond.
The question is, how many people in a percentage would take that offer? I think a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
And
that just means their parents did a piss poor job with them.
I do. And this is going to sound crazy, like, oh, he's so trying to be a martyr or whatever. But like if someone said to me right now, and I swear this on my life, if someone said, I can put out the cure for cancer, but you're dead, you'll die right now. I don't have to think twice about that.
No.
Of course I'm going to live. No, I'm joking. No. I'm saying okay, it would be a no-brainer. I mean, not that I'm looking to die, but You've cured it?
That sacrifice would make sense.
That sacrifice makes perfect sense. Like, that's a no-brainer.
And then Jim's like with St. Peter at the pearly gates, and he's like, well, come on, buddy, open that baby. Lickety-split, well, I cured cancer. There's a lot of beating off.
Let us show you a little video, Jimbo.
Yeah. You did some good things. I'm not denying that.
Yes.
Are you ready to defend your life?
A lot of beating off.
You guys want to hear a little Soothe Operators?
Mm-hmm.
Free to go to sleep.
Doom-ba-da-doom.
Free to go to sleep.
I want this.
This is Rockin' Robin.
Sleep. Go to sleep.
She rocks in the cradle all day long.
I like this.
Sing her this song. All the little babies in the lullaby league love to hear the current sing them to sleep. Rockin' Frida.
That baby was Frida.
Rockin' Frida.
Baby just ate a piece of grape candy and is now going to bed.
And I'm limping.
I love it.
Okay, I have to tell you quickly about, because you're saying about jerking off. So, you know, that is.
I'm just saying, it's a hard left.
St. Peter is looking at me going, please, Jim, you've done so much horrible stuff. I did this gig in a three month theater gig in Kansas City, and it's this wonderful place, and they put you up in this big home for the 3 months. It's lovely. So then there's an exchange of talent. So now the 3 weeks before I leave, the new set comes in. So there's this Chicago actress, and she comes in, and they're at my rap party, and she's there, and she's going to be moving into the house I just left. And I said, listen.
I'm already laughing.
Oh, God. I got to tell you. Careful where you sit. If they don't put a black light on anything. goes, I have destroyed this place.
They love it. But young hot chicks love Jizz Talk.
And because her boyfriend was coming in town, I'm just like, you know, just that's especially that couch. Just be really careful about that.
Turn
couch.
The cushions over.
Just flip some things around. Just
and then you blame the homeowner for all the ceiling fans and the vortex of semen that was created by those fans. If only those fans weren't there, it could have been contained to inside the house.
If they had only planned it better. I don't blame myself.
You can't blame yourself.
Was this the new theater by chance?
Yes.
My neck of the woods.
I love the new theater.
On my birthday, I was allowed to go to the new theater.
Who'd you see? What'd you see?
I saw everything.
Everything.
Don Knotts, Will Patton, everybody.
Yeah, she's a real queen of the theater. Yeah.
It's a great place. And they literally give you this big ass house.
Wow, like, I had no idea.
Yeah, well, they own like four. And the one I've done it twice, and it's this like 4,000 square. You know, and I'm out there alone. So, you know, you
got to,
let's just say you got to put the DNA everywhere. Just so I'm a dog. I got to mark my territory.
You don't have a choice.
Exactly.
It's impossible.
And there was a douche commercial. So please, how can you blame me?
Mother and daughter walking on the beach. Come on. Exactly. I'm saying no to that. Not feeling fresh when? I miss all those commercials. I miss the commercials where you could quote them like at school. I don't know, maybe not since Got Milk or something where you could quote. I always hated the guys who showed up at the party too late, like it'd be 7 years after the Got Milk thing, and you'd see the local bus stop with the guy that's said Got Commercial Real Estate. Call Evan. Yes. And it's like, oh, come on, douche.
No, like, you're not even trying.
Exactly. Not even trying at that point. All right. Let me tell you about MedMen, MedMen.com. I want to thank them for sponsoring this half of the show. And True Car. You can go to TrueCar.com. And Geico. Go to Geico.com as well. All right. The drunk tank. people have been on hold for a long time. There's a lot of good stuff going on here. Do we have an intro?
You're gonna vomit 12 tequila shots you'll take, and yeah, I can have a bad headache and end up in rehab with Dr. Drew. This is the drunk tank. Sharpie penis on your face now. Slapping cop's horse on the ass now. You're gonna end up in zip ties. This is the drunk tank. Alcoholics calling about falling.
I love good drunken stories. I'll just jump to the top, talk to John, line one from Florida. You're getting 4 points just from being from Florida.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Oh, outstanding.
What's going on?
Pleasure to talk to all of you guys. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Preface a couple things. When I say it from Florida, I don't want you to think that the story has to do with a trailer park.
Okay.
So let's just get that one out there. So 30th birthday, I go down to see my folks about 5 hours south of where I live. I've got a brother meets me there, and then, seven male cousins all within 6 years of each other. We haven't seen each other in a while. Last family vacation got canceled for stupid reasons. Anyway, so we're there. It's my 30th birthday party. Stepdad says, hey, I'll take you guys out on the deep sea fishing boat tomorrow. You know, don't get crazy tonight. We got to leave at like, you know, 4:45, 5 o'clock. So we do this. I end up drinking a pitcher, like a blender pitcher of Crown and Coke.
Good.
Yeah, I got pretty high class. So I ended up falling asleep at night of shenanigans, allegedly. I ended up falling asleep on stepdad's pool deck. About half my body in the water. Woke up at about 3:30, about an hour before we need to get up and be productive. And I'm getting pissed on by my cousin, my favorite cousin. At that. So, and he still is my favorite cousin because
the one he didn't like was going number two.
That's right.
Yeah. Your alarm.
I love it. I love peeing on guys that are clinging to life because they poison themselves with alcohol. Something
you've peed on a drunk dude.
I peed on sober dudes. I peed on dudes at with when the sun was shining and the street lights were off and the middle of the week, middle of the day. My friends peed on everyone all day, every day. And they also worked out a technique called brewing where they could pinch it off and launch it and about 18 feet. So you could get peed on. You were never really out of range, and they didn't have places they didn't pee. They pee on people at Dupars.
Snipers, you know.
Pancakes and piss.
Precision pissers.
No, you'd be sitting at a booth, and you'd think you're talking or eating fries, and you don't feel... The thing about piss is it's body temperature, and you're wearing jeans, you know, and by the time... You feel that guy's piss under the table soak through your sock and jeans because it's the same temp as you, but
it's achieved.
It's way too
full
it's
saturation.
Done. It's done. Like if you ever piss yourself in a sleep, by the time you wake up, it's done. It's mattress flipping time by then. By the time you never wake up at the beginning of it, it's done at that point.
All right, so he's half in the pool.
Car to car at a stoplight.
Jeez.
Within the car, many times, parties.
Also through the window into another car?
Window.
When you say car to car.
Yeah, it's gone window or sunroof. But window.
Wow.
Sitting, hooking. Well, you have to brew for that. You have to pinch and
to
launch.
A launch, yeah.
In college, you would piss in people's dryers at parties. So then the next day when they go to do laundry, I know. I'm not proud. I'm just saying. This is what has
many
gone
a
down.
Shampoo bottle was topped off with urine at people's parties.
Never a victim. Never once.
Animals.
I didn't do that. That wasn't my bag. I was Marcus of Queensbury. Yeah. I just wanted to pee on my friends and occasionally strangers. And the reaction that people get is not what you'd expect. Like you could pee on a stranger, which we would do on occasion, and like high school, and it's never what it should be. It's just I remember the one guy like Ray or Chris or someone just pissed on like at our high school, and he just went, dude. Like, he didn't have anything chambered for being pissed on by a stranger.
That is not normal.
Yeah. So pissed on by the cousin.
Half in the pool, asleep.
Yeah. No, it's just pissed on, but that was a wake-up call.
Yeah. That was your wake-up call.
That's pretty good.
Yes, sir.
And half of the pool.
And points for still liking the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
Didn't ruin his friendship.
No, God, no. No, we're pretty tight family. We do, I don't want to say dumb shit all the time, but, it's not, that's weird for me. This kind of story is weird for, I guess, all of us, but not.
Was he randomly pissing or was he pissing on you purposely? Like, did he just happen to be?
According to his, so his girlfriend, before I passed out, she was kind enough to roll. I insisted on sleeping outside on the pool deck, despite a four-bedroom house with two empty beds. And she was nice enough to roll up a towel, put it underneath my head, which is real sweet. And then Steven, my cousin, decides that, I don't know if maybe I was too comfortable. And so, I don't know, shortly after that, just hosed me down.
Did he get you in the about the face and shoulder area?
Oh yeah. It was head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Listen, I'm gonna this is good and drunk, but he passed out and went to bed. The guy, the other half of it's the guy whizzed on him. He doesn't get points for that. I'll talk him a couple sympathy points.
Good, a couple points for going to bed in a place that's not a bed when your bed is close by.
Yeah.
That's just a couple points.
Yeah, the golden liver holder
is the booze.
Dina from Fort Lauderdale, by the way.
Also, she stole her own car.
I'm going to keep Dina ahead. I'll still give him a 12.
That's not bad.
I had a friend when we went to Santa Barbara to just party and stay with some friends who I got accepted to the college, but we didn't. He slept with this girl in the bed, got drunk, woke up, and the guys are the best. The guys who black out. And like Dr. Drew's roommate who once lifted the dust cover on his phonograph like it was a toilet seat and just started whizzing all over stereo. Again, that's great drunken motor memory stuff, like wake up in the middle of the night, stagger around, lift this thing that has the exact same action as a toilet seat, and then piss all over his Loggins and Messina album. I'm imagining Seals and Croft. Seals and Croft. Either way, this dude went to Santa Barbara, was sleeping in bed with this chick, just got up and just started pissing all over in the middle of the night. It's blackout material.
It's blackout
material. Yeah. Loggins and Messina. Your mama don't dance, your dad don't rock and roll.
Better than Summer Breeze.
Let me talk to Evan, 31.
Hey, Adam, Gina, Brian, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, big giant Parks and Rec guy. Really nice to talk to you.
Oh, thanks, Evan. Appreciate that.
Messina never gets painted in with that
the
Garfunkel brush and all the maybe the Corolla brush now.
It's called the Corolla brush outside the studio.
I did have a sad realization, I turned on TMZ and it was like, oh, there's Jimmy and his wife, and where are they? Oh, and there's Oprah, and there's Kurt Russell, and there's Conan O'Brien. Like, oh, they're at Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson's 30th anniversary. I was like, when was that? I was like, Saturday night. I was like, I've stayed in some dude's house outside of Atlanta. on a inflatable mattress on that Saturday night. We went to the PF Chang's, like we're like 20 miles away. I was sleeping on the stranger's house.
Yeah.
I thought that's just a little departure in lifestyles there. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, Evan. Yeah, you can find that TMZ. It's kind of funny. Go ahead, Evan.
All right, so I know
Obama and Oprah were there. I was sleeping in some dude's house.
Georgia.
For free in Georgia. Sorry, go ahead.
All right, so I know how much you love the lottery. So, I wasn't really planning on going out this night. And I just randomly, I went to the convenience store. I had a dollar left over, so I bought like a scratch-off because I wasn't doing anything else. And I randomly won $100. So I proceeded to the local waterhole, you might say.
See, and he reinvested it in the local economy.
That's right.
Exactly. I like to distribute wealth. That's what that is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like our last caller, trickle down. I should drop the mic.
I'm a drinker for the community, you know?
That's right.
So I drank significantly more than I should have, right? So, nothing really. Everything at the bar kind of run the mill. It comes down, in the town that I lived in at the time, they had these, like, community taxis. There'd be these vans. They went locally. You paid, like, $5 to get in. They'd sort of just drive you around. It was not a big deal. Well, I was obliterated drunk, and apparently this group of guys all jumped in the van before me, and I decided, and they said, there's no room for you. Well, I guess I wasn't having any of that, so I tried to fight a handful of them, which I way am not capable of doing. So anyway, I throw a big right hook, and I miss this guy because I'm, annihilated. And I land on the ground in the parking lot, and I feel someone grab me and pull me back up. And I'm thinking it's one of these guys, so I just swing with all I could. And sure enough, there was a nice uniformed police officer, and I struck him. I don't think you could sober up at light speed faster than I immediately went from a 0.3 on the breathalyzer to absolutely dead sober immediately. To striking a police officer right in his chest, and I immediately ran faster than I've ever run my entire life.
I like this tip. Next time someone gets pulled over right before the DUI breathalyzer, just punch that cop.
Yeah.
Right before he says blow into this.
Yeah. It's like smelling salts.
He was being a dick for being a cop at the same time. That's true.
So you ran and you evaded the law?
I evaded the law. I'm trying not to exaggerate. I think I was in the Army for a while. I low crawled well over a mile. over a mile in people's backyard.
Oh, and elbows I'm seeing, and knees.
Damn.
I like it.
I'm seeing flashing lights going up and down the road. So I'm like, here I am. I'm pretty much Harrison Ford in The Fugitive going up and down this neighborhood. And I got attacked by a dog in a yard. So my options were
you just got
run
5 points
out into the street.
That dog attack.
Run out into the street and be arrested for assaulting a police officer, or fight a dog in the middle of the night while I'm inebriated. You made the right choice.
Yeah. I'm giving you. I don't know where my scoring sheet is. Here's something.
We might have a dog.
We got to break this down. We got to break this down piece by piece. No vomiting, but punching a cop is that's a solid 50-point
Fighting a group is good.
I'm blackout, using the ill-gotten gain from the lottery. That's a great beginning to any story.
I'm gonna give you 25.
He's a leader in the drunk tank.
I told you guys last time I talked to you that I'm still organizing my RCS walk. Just so you know,
that's good.
Yeah, it's important. A restless cock syndrome.
In case you didn't know. All right, have a good one, guys. Thank you very much.
What was it? 3.8 billion men.
Yeah, it's a couple times a day.
Not alone.
Well, it is countless. Yes.
Yeah, it's countless. I'm just saying, if you're going to get accused of something, you need a good disease to combat it. And restless cock syndrome, if we can really get that thing off the ground, it's going to save a lot of careers.
It's no laughing matter.
And a lot of relationships as well.
Yeah, Jim.
You suffer from RCS? Sound like you did when you were alone in that big house?
I don't want to get emotional here, but yes, I do suffer from RCS.
Just get a testimonial after the show. Steve, 28, North Carolina.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Steve.
This story, I think this story has passed the statute of limitations, but I've still kept a couple names and things changed and redacted just so nobody gets outed by this if it ever comes back up later on in life.
Smart.
To set the stage, I was a freshman in college. I went to a pretty renowned party school in southeastern Ohio. As soon as you hear southeastern in Ohio, you know that the only thing to do there is get really, really drunk all the time. It was actually 10 years ago. Yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of this day. My engineering class and I, or my group and I, finished our robotics project for the year. And I, as being the only fun person in the group of nerds, had six Molson Triple X tall 24-ounce cans waiting for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So as we finished our robotics project that Thursday night, and as a means of celebration, we all chugged one of these as fast as we could. It was a long semester. It was pretty hard to get through. We were happy. Our project was working. It was going to be turned in the next week. Great. All my friends didn't have Friday classes, and they'd been drinking already. This is probably about 6 or 7 p.m., and so I had to go over and catch up with them. I'm not sure how much you guys know about Four Loco and the history of Four Loco and what used to be in them compared to now.
No. Tell us about it.
I think that might be the reason why. So they put, like, they used to put, like, taurine and ginseng and guarana and caffeine, and it was basically speedballing when you drank it. You'd get really amped up, and the alcohol would hit you like a truck. So I made my way over to my friends after the Molson Triple X Tall Boy, which is already stuff that kind of makes you start getting in fights. And
that's
Four
Loco. Sorry. There's an energy drink called 5150, which is
suggestive.
I'd like to get these guys in the same room. That's an interesting energy drink.
It's really called 5150.
When we were driving to up north and started like Barstow, or stopped at Bar, like a little out of the we're looking at 5150.
Oh, wow.
Live the madness, it says.
Yeah. Good for them. Genius.
I don't know if our founding fathers would have wanted that kind of freedom.
Good thing one of them is sugar-free.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, because you're watching your waistline. Yeah, sorry, Steve.
The next parts of the story are secondhand recounted because I blacked out. Basically, this college is in the middle of Appalachia, so anywhere you go, you have to go up and down hills. We were going up a hill. Apparently, a girl we were with, a friend of mine, prior history, it doesn't matter the situation. She wanted a piggyback ride because she was so drunk, and me and my infinite blackout wisdom said, I'll hike you up on my shoulders.
Always
a good move.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, all right, on three, I'm going to pick you up. And so when I got to three and went to pick her up, she also jumped. So she basically got up onto my shoulders, and so I had my momentum picking her up, plus her own momentum, and she basically flipped over the front of me like I was handlebars on a bike. She fell. She kind of broke the fall with her arms because she wasn't blackout drunk, and the impact of it basically made me fall flat forward on my face. I was bleeding everywhere. I was wearing a white T-shirt, so it just got everywhere. We got to the bar. The bartenders wouldn't let me in because I was drunk and covered in blood, so I figured the next most logical thing to do...
Uptight dicks.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I felt like I wish there was victimhood in 2008 because I could have felt like one and identified as something, but I couldn't. I can't do that then.
Right.
So,
and somebody needed to fuck that robot. So,
yeah. Steve,
while not in good shape,
sneaks back to the
I'll
building.
See you guys back in the lab.
Yeah.
And so, my cousin is 2 years older. She lived off campus. I'd hung out with her before, so one of my friends knew that that was probably the safest person to call. So she came and picked me up from the bar, took me back to her place to kind of just lay me on the couch, give me some water, some bandages. I guess I tried to get a little intimate with her roommate who didn't like me very much, and I said some things to her that I shouldn't have said that I'm not going to repeat because I know the show has been going family-friendly for a while. Got kicked out of my own cousin's house.
Go ahead. I was just talking about fucking
a
robot.
We're a family of Irish people.
I see.
I don't know how she turned you down. You're drunk. You're full of blood.
Yeah, my God,
you sound like I'm ready to do you.
Yeah, you smell of fortified wine.
Yeah,
congealed
like
blood.
Just,
wow.
Yeah, no, this is a malt beverage based kind of deal.
Hey, Steve, so we need to get to it here. I feel like we're living the evening in real time.
So the whole year, my roommates and I in our dorm had a contest to bring back the most ridiculous inanimate objects we could find around the city and on campus. So drunk me is walking back to my dorm after getting kicked out of my cousin's house. I see a parking meter laying in the street from where they're doing construction. Myself, hey, smart Steve, this is probably a good idea. Why don't you pick this parking meter up and haul it a half mile back to your dorm? There's no way anyone will see you. Mm-hmm. So I get about 3 or 4 steps, and it kind of felt like entrapment. I was also retarded drunk, so who knows what it was. Got
like a bait
pulled
meter.
Over by a cop.
Yeah, bait meter.
Yeah, I fell for the bait big time. Ended up costing about $3,000 in lawyers and fees by the time this ordeal was settled. 2, 3 a.m., I get back to my dorm. I fall asleep, pass out.
By the way, bait
out.
Meter's a new morning. Device Jim wears on his right hand when he does regional theater. Personal best, by the way, record-wise. You know, they measure steps.
Sure.
Kind of like that, the bait meter.
Yeah, stroke bit.
Destroyed his stroke bit. Personal best from last year's regional
Very
theater.
Very proud, thank
Very
you.
Very proud of that.
You know, your call time is 5 p.m. Here's your bait meter.
You got arrested for stealing a parking meter?
Yeah.
All right, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
The rich detail is nice. I appreciate that.
Good. I like to look up on the shoulders. I like that kind of drunken behavior.
There were like 4 locations.
Mm-hmm.
I like the pounding the drinks to catch up.
Yeah, I like the ketchup.
That's always a good thing.
The drink
ketchup
of choice
buzz.
Is pretty gross.
What'd I give it the last one? 25?
Yeah.
I'll give it 23.
No.
I'm feeling good.
Damn, you're generous.
That seems very generous.
You know what?
Just double day?
Just as long as he's not getting past our last car. All right. Mark, 23. Well, it did lead to an arrest, which I like.
That's pretty good.
Mark, 32, Idaho.
You there, Mark?
You couldn't top that.
Oh, good. He's gone. I couldn't be happier.
Our new champion, Evan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
Let's get out.
Alcoholics calling about falling. Look out, they're gonna puke right on your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a worthy champion.
Right? Yeah, solid. I'll tell you what else is solid. MedMen, California or Nevada. Go ahead and listen up. MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry, empowering you to exercise the right to purchase cannabis. Yeah, forget about that hangover. Let's get some cannabis going, people. Premium shopping experience, wide range of products with knowledgeable and friendly staff. Open for both recreational and medical users. Anyone over 21 with a valid ID is welcome. Gary swung by. Gina swung by. I had him send a care package over myself. Something to help you get to sleep. Highest quality and safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. These are experts. Everything's been vetted. The place looks like a Mac store. Unbelievable. And you can check out their 8 locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego. You can go to Las Vegas if you're out that direction. You can visit them online, medmen.com. You find out the location nearest you, medmen.com. How about that, Dawson?
Visit MedMen and tell them you heard about it on the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order, limit 1 per customer. Terms and conditions may apply. Check out MedMen today.
All right, let's see. So we want to take a quick break. And we'll come back with the news and Jim O'Hare right after this.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Kanye West has been saying some more wild stuff lately. The breaking one is that he was on with Charlemagne the God and basically said that if slaves were slaves for 400 years, it had to be a choice. But he also confessed to opioid addiction during his explosive interview with TMZ.
Charlemagne the God is a DJ.
Yeah, in New York. We've had him on the show.
I've done his show a few times.
Yeah.
I wonder if Charlemagne, I mean, I'm guessing that's not his Christian name, Charlemagne the God. I like him just to interview, and he probably has, the rapper Common, and then just start with, what's with directions. The lackluster new name? Like, I went with Common. Yeah, but I went with Charlemagne
the
God. I got Cedric the Entertainer coming in at 9 o'clock hour, but you just went with Common? Like,
even
you understand
what,
when you're making up your own name. Yeah,
you can go for it.
Rich Whitecock will work. Like, whatever. The sky's the limit. We're making up names. Yeah. You understand? You made up Common. I went with Charlemagne the God.
Yeah.
See where I'm thinking?
I get you.
Yeah, low self-esteem.
Well, apparently got hooked on Percocet following liposuction surgery. Now, before I
wait,
tell
wait,
you...
Wait, who?
Kanye.
Kanye.
Because liposuction.
Well, hold on now. Oh. Kanye's mom died in a cosmetic procedure.
Yes.
I don't know. When that's...
You wouldn't want to tempt fate away.
Like, let's just say my mom died on a Ski-Doo. Not that she's ever been near a Ski-Doo. If she died on a Ski-Doo, I wouldn't go, we got to get a Ski-Doo and, you know, go down to Lake Mead. Like, I'd probably be like,
not for me.
I'm probably not a good plan. And also, Kanye West, you don't feel like he's a lipo.
Right. Well, he even says in the interview that he sort of turned on everyone at TMZ that he didn't want to be made fun of like everyone made fun of Rob Kardashian at he and Kim Kardashian's wedding, at Kanye and Kim's wedding. So he's very self-conscious. And I'll tell you the rest, but first...
If only there was something to be done about not getting fat.
I want to show you the clip.
I haven't figured it out, but go ahead.
Get lipo like Kanye.
I'm giving you what turned into a speech at TMZ. It's about 2 minutes. You can call out whenever you want, but the whole thing is just bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I was drugged the fuck out, bro. I was drugged out. I was on opioids. 2 days after I got off of opioids, and I was addicted to opioids, 2 days I got off of opioids, I'm in the hospital, right? I'm taking two. Hey, everyone listen to this, please. 2 days before I was in the hospital.
It's kind of like me when I'm in the kitchen.
I was on opioids.
That's true.
I was addicted to opioids. I had plastic surgery because I was trying to look good for y'all. I got liposuction because I didn't want y'all to call me fat like y'all called Rob at the wedding and made him fly home before me and Kim got married. I didn't want y'all to call me fat, so I got liposuction, right? And they gave me opioids, right? And I started taking two of them and then driving to work on the opioids, right? Then my boy, and I'd always ask my boy, you know, to hand me if it's, you know, we on tour, give me some weed, blah, blah, blah. So he had to go give me the opioids. And there was talks amongst my camp, like, Ye's popping pills, right? So when he handed to me this to me, he said, you know, this is used to kill genius, right? So I didn't take it. 2 days later, I'm in the hospital. I was taking two pills a day at that time. When I left the hospital, how many pills you think I was given? Seven. I went from taking two pills to taking seven.
Almost twice as much.
So the reason why I denounced, why I dropped those tweets and everything, because I was drugged the fuck out, bro.
He's a
guy. I'm not drugged out. These pills that they want me to take three of a day, I take one a week, maybe two a week. Y'all had me scared of myself, of my vision. So I took some pills so I wouldn't go to hospital and prove everyone right.
So we're going to make America great again? Or
we are this. Drugged out. We are following other people's opinions. We are controlled by the media. And today it all changes.
He's reached guy on the train status.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
I think Mama Kardashian is going to be pulling the plug on that wedding real soon.
Oh, yeah.
She's not going to want this going around.
Yeah.
It might be They're already late. Married, right?
They're married, but I'm saying the mother's going to be like, no, you need to pull this, Kim. No. This is lunacy. Mm-hmm.
Not right for the brand.
It's all about the brand.
Speaking of the 5150.
Yes.
Maybe, maybe that energy drink is never, truer words have never been written on a can.
Live the madness.
It's like Grandpa used to say.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very weird.
That is.
Yeah. I mean, he has a pretty rich history of being weird. He's just left this game a little bit.
And he went to, he and Trump are BFF, and he's slavery, it was a choice, and he's just, it's like, who's the crazy person?
Well, slavery was a choice for whites.
It wasn't a choice for the black folk.
But.
Right. And so then you always have to ask, is he going, crazy, or is he on something? Or is he diabolically just smarter than all of us and just staying relevant?
No, I say no to that.
Yeah.
Even though he thinks yes, I say no.
All right.
You mentioned BFF, which no more than 24 hours after he was embraced by Trump and all the Trumpers, he reveals himself to BFF. Some questionable thoughts on race on slavery.
What goes on in 1600 Pennsylvania? Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Harvey Weinstein back in the news. It's been a while.
He's
facing new allegations of sexual misconduct. So Alexandra Canosa was a producer on the Netflix series Marco Polo. She's filed a lawsuit in Manhattan Supreme Court alleging the mogul raped, physically assaulted, and verbally abused her. According to the filing, Weinstein, quote, constantly threatened her and made it clear that if she did not succumb to his demands for sexual contact, or if she exposed his unwanted conduct, there would be a retaliation, including humiliation, the loss of her job, the loss of any ability to work in the entertainment business. Canosa says,
anyone who ever dealt with him knows he's the worst human in the world. I mean, when they basically distributed my first movie, The Hammer, and it's always like all they would do is just fuck everybody out of money. They're the worst. They're the worst.
The company culture.
And he's raped a lot of women and fucked a lot of dudes. And the dudes he fucked out of money, the women he raped and verbally. But it couldn't happen to a worse guy.
Though this year is apparently fake news.
And just a little peek behind the curtain of the wiring of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Guy's the worst person in the world. Everyone knew it. But he had a checkbook.
He was making money.
He had juice, and they wanted their project greenlit and beyond. So the people that are most outraged about what's going on around the world or in the White House or anywhere else or with Cecil the fucking Lion or whatever, all those heroes didn't say shit to the monster because they're more than happy to go to cocktail parties and kiss his hairy ass. That's exactly who they are. And it makes me think that the righteous indignation about what's going on around the world that doesn't really affect them or something to do. They like the esoteric shit, which is I'll just rail about whatever's going on with the polar caps and then I'll go to the party with Harvey Weinstein and kiss his fucking ass.
Right.
Well, that's hypocritical, but it's also cowardly. It means you're weak and all these people, and they're constantly passing judgment on everyone else, but when it comes to their own projects and their own bank accounts, zero judging going on with that guy who everyone knew was the worst person in the world and possibly a serial rapist.
They would justify it. Well, I didn't personally see it happen. Mm. Everyone knew what was going on with that.
Right.
Everybody knew. Right. Come on.
The next time Hollywood gets outraged on somebody's behalf, the next time there's a school shooting and they get outraged on someone's behalf, whatever direction they decide to go this week, take it with a grain of salt.
Right. Yeah.
You look the other way.
Yeah. Well, Starbucks, we've talked a little bit about the two men who were arrested at the Starbucks. They have settled over at Starbucks with a dollar each in the settlement, according to the Washington Post. In addition to providing the symbolic $1 settlement, the city of Philadelphia will donate $200,000 to a program to support young entrepreneurs. Rashawn Nelson and Dante Robinson, as you remember, they were let out of a Starbucks in handcuffs on April 12th after they sat in the cafe without ordering anything as they waited for an associate to join them for a meeting.
Well, they were there for 2 minutes.
Right. Their arrest created an uproar and prompted a personal apology from the Starbucks chief executive. The company will close more than 8,000 stores, as we talked about, for an afternoon later this month for racial bias education training.
Heroes. Yeah. I like the fact that they took a buck.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean,
if that's true, that's amazing. Because that could have been a hell of a paycheck.
A hell of a settlement, yeah.
That's a big payday.
Yeah. What do you mean, how does that work?
Well, I mean, they just go, you know, the symbolic dollar. You know, they do that stuff every once in a while. Like, they'll go, I don't know, I think the guy who scaled one of the Twin Towers was charged like a penny for every floor he went up. Right. You know, it was one of those things that didn't cost anything. It was the judge going, here you go. They agreed, I'll take a dollar. Each of us will take a dollar because if that's true, I'm happy about that.
It sounds like, I'm just piecing this together from the story, but it sounds like if you set up this fund for young entrepreneurs, then we'll step out of the way.
Good
but
for
it's
them.
Still
I think
a win
they're
for
classy
us.
Guys who wanted this to go well.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, if they had taken $1 million each, that's all we would have heard about. Oh, of course, hey, get $1 million.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll
you can kick me out
yeah.
of Starbucks. Yes. Blah, blah. I think this is really classy.
I agree. Yeah.
Still, you got to buy stuff when you go to a store. I don't like people meeting at bookstores or coffee houses or anything and just going, we're just going to hang.
I don't know how Starbucks. I was in Chicago yesterday. There was this upstairs section. There had to be 50 people there. Nobody got off their asses to get more coffee. So they bought the one coffee. Yeah. And are sitting there what appears to be for hours.
They paid for their table with $2.
Could never. I've long before this. I used to talk about this on Loveline. Like I could just never run that business. I couldn't. When I went to Pixar to take a tour of the campus many years ago, I was like walking around. We had the guide, and they're showing you through the huge atrium and the free food and the stuff like that, and. You know, we're like walking past people in line at the cafeteria, and it's like, oh, I didn't know you were at work today. Oh, this is my day off. I just come by, you know, just like come by to eat. Two guys were playing foosball. Yeah. And it was like, it seemed like the coolest place in the world. But I realized if I ran that place and I passed the dudes playing foosball and then came circled back like an hour and 45 minutes later and they were still going, I'd just be like, hey.
And they're eating and drinking.
Like, I don't know what. Yeah. I don't know if you're. This is some sort of creative juices going. Just go find it.
Get
your fucking cubicle
with
you. Like, I thought it was cool with the foosball too, but now I'm pissed. Like, it's getting dark outside. You're still playing goddamn foosball. And as far as I checked, I'm paying you to play foosball. You're in here on your day off eating my fucking food. Like, I would.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it. If I ran a Starbucks, it'd be the same way. If somebody sat down and opened that laptop and ordered the small black coffee. As soon as they got to hour three, I'd have to go by the table.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, and especially if there's any kind of line forming or anybody waiting
you can
around.
You go to a fancy restaurant and drop $300-$400 and they're giving you the eyeball, hey, this table needs to flip.
Yeah.
We
got
to get the hell out of there. And you've just dropped $300 or $400. This is a $2 cup of coffee that you feel entitles you to 8 to 10 hours. I don't get it. And electricity, because they're always charging everything. They're charging
office.
Everything.
Charging everything. Yes.
Well, I like that this story came on Drunk Tank Day because this is pretty awesome. Newsweek reports that this weekend, the town of Bourne, Texas, is hosting a charity race for underachievers. The Bourne Half K race is a half K race between two beer pubs on Cinco de Mayo. Runners get beer at the starting line and at the finish line and will also be provided with donuts, coffee, a participation trophy, and a pretentious Euro-style half K sticker that you can attach to the rear window of your car to show everyone what a cool hipster you are, quote unquote. Tickets for you.
They got the 26.2 and then the 13.1. I don't know. Is that something to brag about?
The half marathon?
Well, let's really just break down what the marathon is.
If I ran to my car from here, I'm bragging. So, yeah, that is something to brag about.
No, I'm saying I couldn't run 13.1 miles, but the notion of a marathon is sort of like saying there's this Jim Brady cut of this steak, and it's 41 ounces. And those who finish it are the biggest eater. And then you go, and then we have the half size. But that's like, you're flying in the face of why this thing exists.
It's not impressive. It's just that that's not the thing.
Yeah, there's no competition that says, all right, we need you to swim, The Rock. We need you to,
Alcatraz, San Francisco.
But just get halfway.
Yeah.
We drop you in halfway and then you see if you can get to the San Francisco Bay. Like whatever it is, it flies in the face of what the thing is. Yeah. Like what rank did you reach in the military? I was kind of sort of a Navy SEAL. I was like half a SEAL. Like if a SEAL had one flipper.
Okay.
I did half of the training.
Okay, so were you like on the team that like got Bin Laden?
I wouldn't call myself an elite fighting force, more mid-level, but half.
Okay, but
half a SEAL.
But you definitely scale out of planes and drop into the ocean.
I was on SEAL Team 1.5.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're an elite-ish fighting force, you know what I mean?
Elite-ish
fighting force.
Well, then I guess I kind of want to have sex with you.
We were...
you heard of the best of the best? We're the best of the rest.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people think we're tip of the spear.
Right.
We weren't in the rear with the gear. We weren't the tip of the spear. In the middle.
We're that strong...
Part of the shaft.
The middle, yeah.
Yeah, part of the shaft.
Okay. Holding it together.
Yeah. Holding it together.
Right. Sure.
That's kind of hot.
If we were a human body, we'd be right where the pelvis was. You know, not the feet.
The midsection.
Not the forehead. Right in the middle. Elite-ish fighting force.
Huh.
You know, when you need the job to be done, but the job's not that dangerous, we're the guys you call.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And local. We don't go out
of
planes.
I'll give you 6 of my 7 phone number digits.
Thank you. Just saying, you ran half a marathon. That's not a marathon. That's they created a marathon as a challenge for you to complete.
Yeah.
And then what if you ran a quarter marathon? Then where are we with
is that a thing?
No, but it will be soon.
Is this a 1K you said?
This is a half K. But it's a joke.
I'm glad somebody's picked up on this. Because I used to say, first off, they used to do 10Ks. Then they would do like 10K run walks.
The walk run.
And then they started doing like 10K run walk rides. And then they started doing 5K run walk ride. Like, 5K on a bicycle is barely breaking nothing. A sweat. Yes. Like that's a
no
zero
time.
Burger.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The whole point of the stuff is you completed the challenge.
Right.
Okay.
Not half the challenge.
Not half. But I like where these guys' heads are at.
It's funny.
Somebody's going to yak.
It's donuts, coffee, and beer. So yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That'd be great.
All right. Speaking of what not to do when you've had too many donuts and beer, True Car. Get yourself a designated driver. MSRP, you might know what it stands for, but what does it mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. Confusing, right? Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including the fees and accessories before you get to the dealership. You know what the true price is. You know it's a great price because True Car shows you what other people paid for the exact same car. Your certified dealer locks in your price. You get your certificate. You pick out your car in advance, and you go pick up your car. No haggling, no hassle. Anyone can do it. And the True Car dealers compete with one another for your business, so you know it's going to be good. So when you're ready to buy new or you want to go use, remember, new or used, you visit True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. True Car. All right, Gina Grad, what else?
Well, a recent survey found that 45% of workers admitted to crying at work. And that's just fine with the boss, apparently. 44% of CFOs says that crying on the job is acceptable as long as it's not an everyday thing. How do you feel about your employees crying at work?
I started thinking.
How about you leave the joking to Adam?
I had a.
Oh. Teresa cried once
in a while. I've cried on the show before.
I've had a. So I was watching Tom Brady saying that he felt sort of unappreciated over at New England, and then everyone dug into him and kind of went like, "What, Tom? Cry me a river, pardon the pun." And then I thought, "Wait a minute, it's just a common feeling. Like I'm sure everybody feels unappreciated."
Could be a driving motivational factor.
Right. he may do it to himself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you go, how could you be unappreciated? Have five rings or six?
Five.
Five rings. Yeah, five rings. You go, well, not unappreciated compared to the backup long snapper, but compared to the guy with the five rings, right. I could feel like a three-ring player or whatever it is. Yeah. And then I thought to myself, huh, I wonder who around here feels unappreciated. And then I thought, ah, fuck it. And then I got a drink. And I watched.
Good for you.
I watched one of my car shows.
Good atmosphere but here, guys. Good for you.
I thought.
But that was just to piggyback on that. That's who Brady is. He still remembers the name of the six quarterbacks who were taken before him in the 1999 draft. Like,
right.
That's what maybe part of what makes him great. He has a chip on his shoulder, whether he has five rings or is fighting for a job.
But this is your warehouse, this is your show, your studio, and there are times you feel unappreciated. Every time a bag of chips is left open, I think you feel a little unappreciated.
Well, that's unheard,
which is maybe
a step cousin of unappreciated. But I'm the boss. I don't feel particularly appreciated. But on the other hand, I would try to. I would try to worry about appreciated as almost as like respected. Like if you're telling somebody you better respect me. You don't disrespect me. Like I've never told anyone to respect me, and I've never told anyone to apologize to me, because it's like saying, you faked that orgasm, bitch. Come on now. Like, it's like you yelling at someone to apologize flies in the face of an apology. Yeah.
It completely lacks sincerity.
It's such a weird thing. And it also, therapists will say, you know, well, have you ever asked your father to ask you if you were interested in this, that, and the other, to go see an event or something? I go, well, no. If I told him, ask me about how the stand-up show went, then he would ask, but it would fly in the face. He doesn't want to ask. He's not interested, and I could pull out a gun and get a blowjob from anyone in the world, but it wouldn't mean they wanted to do it. I'm looking at you, Jim.
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I would
to judge, aren't you?
I'm just saying. It's kind of a weird thing. So I think let's try to break this down. Tom Brady should know that he won all those Super Bowls for his team, and he should know that it probably wouldn't be possible with Art Schleister. I just pulled
a
weird name from football past in there. And I don't think he should tolerate Robert Kraft saying, yeah, you won the Lombardi this year, but you did throw a pick, even though it was a deflection. Like, I get that, but I don't know. Should people, and then as far as your pride goes, shouldn't you be sort of the captain of your own pride barge? You know what I mean? Like, you base it on what you've achieved, what you've accomplished, whatever, and like screaming at people to respect you or whatever's kind of. Most people that scream at other people to respect them are wearing bathrobes, and it's 4 p.m. and they're like on a lawn.
Yeah.
They have one slipper on and they're holding one of those 120 cigarettes and they're screaming, respect me. And it's like, I don't know that.
I would also draw a line between unappreciated and disrespected, because I think most people in some aspect of their life, whether it's relationship or work or whatever, maybe aren't appreciated as much as they should be, but how many of us are really disrespected? I think people perceive disrespect to be something more than it is in our lives. I don't know how often you guys feel disrespected. I don't feel disrespected that
often. Well, there's also a
versus unappreciated.
There's also a twist on this, which is I have had people like my relationship with Jimmy Kimmel's. He will tell me anything, and sometimes you go, "Wow, that was harsh," and then you realize, oh no, he knows you can take it. Like, and he knows who you are. He knows you can, we all know the people that, I'm not going to turn that person to a heap.
No.
They'll never come out. They'll never come out of a fetal position if I'm straight up and hit them.
You have to massage
with some stuff. So in a weird way, when people speak openly and sometimes with a critique to your face, it also means they respect you. It means they think you can handle it, and it means they'd like you to get they care enough. Like, you know,
and there's ways to do it.
And there's ways to do it. But you can take it and turn it into a little bit of a compliment that they think enough of you
you're
to like
so
carve
fragile.
Out some time mm-hmm. to talk to you, and that you're not such a fragile soul that they can speak to you. But yeah, it did make me think. Like I started to think, yeah, it's a good idea to give a hand out some data boys and tell Matt to hand out some data boys with my name on it, please.
Adam says you did a great job
when he gets off the
Adam
toilet.
Adam really appreciates what you bring to the team.
Please tell him to do that. All right, let me tell you quickly about Geico. Everybody's got the to-do list. Yeah, data boy. I'll put that on my list. How about you add save hundreds of dollars to your car insurance at Geico.com? Just go to Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket, man. A little wham, a little walking around money. It is Geico. That is Geico.com. All right, let's do one more, Gina Graham.
All right. Well, according to a new study, couples who stay married 20 years report feeling happier than newlyweds. Researchers found happiness gradually declines during the first 20 years of marriage, but then it stabilizes and bounces back.
Are you saying hashtag it gets better?
Yes, it gets better. Giving couples deeper levels of appreciation for each other. So if you can just get past that 20-year mark, you'll be back
long
in business.
Fucking time.
Adam, you got to come up with 20 years, right?
Yeah, how long have you been married?
Look, everyone's coming up on 20 years, even people that haven't met.
That's a good point. Yeah. Ultimately, yeah.
Maybe, and also, I wonder if that has to do with raising kids, because you date, you get married, say you have kids 2 years later, then they're 18, they're out of the house. There's probably a correlation there, too.
Yeah, I think you have some expectations at the beginning.
Yep.
And
you
later
learn
on,
and then you learn quick.
Just kind of settle in and wait to die. And
wait to die.
Once in a blue moon.
And there's a tacit agreement. There's a tacit.
One Saturday, you get a Hot Pocket just because, and you're over the moon because you set the bar so low. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
So romantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's...
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
I think it's true. I think you do... I think at the beginning, you think... I need this person to do things that they're just not going to do. And I got to somehow figure out a way to get them to do these things that they're not. And it's a two-way street.
They're doing it to you, too.
Yeah, they want you to do things. And at a certain point, you kind of ease into this. They're doing what they do. You do what you do. We realize what everyone's sort of capable of. We're not going to... You can also read what it means. And when you stop trying to coax a performance out of the other person, it makes it a lot easier to just to go through life with that person.
Drop the expectations.
Yeah, and also if we were talking about in other podcasts, if you can stop the triggering, if you can stop that triggering mechanism where you get triggered, you react. What's going on? How come no one brought me a burger? Where no one asked? Like this weird thing of like, how come I didn't? Stop with the triggering. Like, and just kind of take it's usually just like a five Mississippi in between whatever feeling's going to come rushing in.
With the pies in your hand. Your theory.
Yeah, I basically just said you got a pie in each hand and a fly lands on your nose. If you react, you're going to get a pie in the face. If you can wait about 4 or 5 seconds, the fly always flies away. Never sets up camp there. It just lands.
That's smart.
Take a little breather. Let it, and don't hit yourself in the face with your own pie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, though to be hit in the face with pie, wait, that's a different topic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be much better.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I had to do some parenting last night.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
are you okay?
Oh, it's May 1st.
Yeah, Natalia was getting a little mouthy with Mama.
Ooh.
Took off, went and saw a movie. Didn't listen. Now the great thing about kids, but
the kid took off.
You took off.
I was going to say, wait.
No.
That's not parenting, Adam.
No, she.
That's abandonment.
Yeah.
I was literally. The great thing about kids, but then you'll see this in a lot of your adult friends that aren't so successful. I was in Atlanta on Saturday night. You know, Sonny gets on the phone, wants to know how the race is going. Natalia gets on the phone. She wants to know if she can get an iPhone X for her birthday coming up in a few months.
How old?
And she's turning 12 in a few months. And I say to her, you want an iPhone X? She's, yeah.
It's $100 for every year even on the
Saturday. This is Saturday night. I said, listen to me. If you can keep it together and not drive your mom insane, if you can even do that, if you can put that together between now and your birthday, then you can have that. That was Saturday night. I came home Tuesday, and it's like, where's Lynette? She's parked in her car somewhere breathing. Like, where's Natalia?
Oh,
she's, don't even ask where she is. And I was like, you couldn't string together 60. No, they didn't get to hour six. She didn't make it to hour 60. And I just realized the most important thing you could ever have is you want, and then of course at night when I had to do some parenting and go, well, I kissed the iPhone. She's devastated.
Of course.
She's like, what can I do to get that phone? It's like, what can you do to get the phone? We just had the discussion.
Laid out quite clearly.
Yeah.
57 hours before, and you completely obliterated it. And then you realize how many people. Now, we are hopefully going to wean her off of this behavior, but how many adults you know have drugged that into their 40s?
Of course.
Like, cannot stop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cannot stop.
Yep.
It is, and now look, it's something that you don't wish upon your worst enemy, but many kids, they're horrible, as we established at the beginning of Jim's appearance here.
Horrible.
Many kids have that. You have to get them off that because eventually they will just do that to their boss. I mean, their boss will go, you can have that raise if you can put together 6 months without being late, and they'll be late 2 days later. Yeah. Like, they don't wait 2 weeks.
No.
It's pretty insane how many folks are wired that way, and I wish you good luck if that's your wiring.
But here's the big question.
Gonna have a tough
life. Is she going to get the phone?
Hell yes.
See?
No phone.
No phone. That's good parenting.
Yeah.
Follow through.
You know what? Yes. That's something to add to the language of losers I was thinking about the other day, because I hate this. This is so, I think it's so narcissistic and lazy. During a quote-unquote apology, when someone goes, look, if I could take it back, I would, but I can't.
Right.
I would, but I can't. All I can do is apologize. If I could take it back, but life doesn't work that way. I can't take it back. I'm like, what does this become about your monologue about a time machine?
All of this is
right.
Yeah.
I love that. And also,
just go right to the apology.
Yeah.
Yes. And while we're meting out the punishment, she wanted to know where we were with the phone, by the way. Like,
I like her drive. The laser phone.
Laser
phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you have, wait a minute. What was Cabin Fever? What the hell is the name of that video game?
Fortnite. Yeah, you were helping Sonny play some Fortnite last night.
Sonny's hooked on this stupid Fortnite video game, and I realize he communicates with friends and strangers while playing Fortnite, and I've just decided to grab the mic and start yelling into it while he's showing it. Now, I don't know why, but Olga just started taping me randomly.
Smart.
I was not doing this for show. This was serious military. This is a serious operation.
Play by play, yeah.
Yeah, again, I'm kind of a Navy SEAL.
There's a giant green screen.
You got eyes on the enemy?
I do. I got
shot. Shots fired. Shots fired, man down. Man down. Medevac. Call the medevac copter.
Stupid friends have no
this
idea what's
Charlie,
going on.
Foxtrot. Tango. Alpha. Omega. Calling in medevac. We need backup.
Sonny's not amused.
Dude, yeah. Sonny just like my fucking dad.
What's your 20?
He died.
We got a man down. We don't leave a man behind.
He already died.
Come on, son. We're going home. We don't leave a man behind. Marines don't leave
like
a man
what?
Behind. Not Marines.
That's not Marines.
Foxtrot, Alpha, Omega.
Zed, I think, was trying to think of the Greek alphabet.
I thought you didn't start drinking till noon or till 10 p.m. There's clearly light outside.
By the way, as you were talking about that,
I'm going to grab that mic and yell into it every single time I see that kid playing this game.
So good. The New York Times, I just got an alert right now. Video gamers are the new stars. Esports arenas are the new movie theaters.
Yeah.
And much of it is powered by the obsession with one game, Fortnite.
Yeah.
What is this thing?
I've never even heard of it.
He's the new voice of Fortnite.
Wow. They don't even know it.
I have no idea what goes on. As he runs through the wilderness and looks for different people to kill. It's just what you want your kids training for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When wilderness survival.
They get together with their marauding friends and, you know, battle axes and machetes and whatnot. And then you just scour the wilderness and then you find other folks that don't look like you and you kill them.
It's a good message.
It's a good message. It helps.
Noble.
Yeah. It's an important skill, too, because what happens when you're camping and then there's someone else camping near you.
Let's go to Big Bear.
And you got to go slaughter them. Yeah, you got to hunt them down.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You're up at Big Sur. And,
take the
The fella goes to take a dump and leaves the kids alone with the wife, and you got to take them down.
Got to do it.
You got to do it.
Rape and pillage.
Yeah. And not even in that order.
No. Rape and or pillage.
Right. Mm. Yeah. So, you know, these are skills that I, and I'm sure he could be in the garage with me learning how to build a cabinet, but what good would
That's
not going to help him later on.
What do you want him doing, building cabinets when he's older? Or hunting down innocents?
Please don't kill the other campers. I know how to build a cabinet.
That's right. He's going to be building his cabinet when some other guy played Fortnite comes up to his tent.
And takes him out.
Dead meat. Can't have that
happen.
He's doing it right, but I will grab that mic and scream into it every single time now. And I will tell you that this part of the show has been brought to you by Simply Safe. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. SimplySafe.com/Adam. SimplySafe.com/Adam. And no, let's not forget our friend Shaq Fu, man. The big podcast with Shaq. Hey, movies, TV, music, a little basketball, life, a little gossip. What else do you need to know? Check out the big podcast with Shaq every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, if you like, podcastone.com. All right, you can go to adamcarolla.com. You find out about Corolla drinks events coming up. Oh, we got comedy night coming up. When is that? That's coming up tonight. Oh, Corolla Drinks presents at the Chevy Chase Country Club. Really cool country club. Adam Ray is going to be there. Matt Edgar is going to be there. Jade
Catapretta.
There, I said it fast. You never can be wrong. We're doing a bottle signing coming up on May 12th at noon at Total Wine and More in Pasadena. And everything. So go to adamcarolla.com and all that stuff. Lullaby League. I love it. I love this premise. It's available Wednesday nights on Scary Mommy's YouTube channel and also available on Facebook and Pop TV. Jim O'Hare, our dear friend. Thank you, my friend.
I love being here.
We love having
you. And thank you for bringing notice to RCS.
Thank you. No, I've seen you suffering in silence for years.
Actually, in the last 10 minutes, I've had a...
An attack. An episode.
He's had a spell. I literally mean it's a good thing you're sitting down. Yes. Jim O'Hare. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Jim O'Hare, Gina Grad, Bald Bryans. Mahalo.
I'm a drinker for the community.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Pay for tickets and info on all the live podcasts, man, your events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.